The second lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. Listen for God's word to you. Jesus looked up and saw rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. He said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on." When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first. But the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all of this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." God, we thank you for your word. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the words we heard read this morning from your holy book. And now, as we listen to these words which come from my lips, I most humbly pray that you will pour through me the gift of preaching, that they remain no longer simply my words, but instead they are transformed into your living word to each and every person who hears them, that he or she might be met in exactly his or her place of need. We pray this in great anticipation and in the strong name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. There is a pop rock band called Panic at the Disco. It's been around for about 15 years, and in May of 2018, it put out a song called High, High Hopes. Now, High, High Hopes is a very catchy tune, and it has been so popular that it actually, as of August of this year, 2019, it had been a year on Billboard's Top 100. And I really love the message of it, and I will even find myself sometimes when I wake up in the morning or in the middle of the night with it running through my head. And this last week, as I was working on these scripture lessons, and it did that again, came up running into my head, I thought it actually is fitting, given both the context of the theme of our 2020 vision and the scripture lessons this week. So I just wanted to read you a little bit of some of the lyrics of High, High Hopes. It says, "Mama said, fulfill the prophecy, be something greater, go make a legacy. Mama said, don't give up. It's a little complicated. I had to have high, high hopes for a living, shooting for the stars when I couldn't make a killing. Didn't have a dime, but I always had a vision, always had high, high hopes." I kind of think that's where our scripture lessons are leading today. We have three different lessons, and they really kind of fit into that past, present, and future vision of where is God leading God's people. And the first one, we're back in Jeremiah, back right post The Babylonian exile, post the destruction of the temple and the people being carried out of Jerusalem. They're looking to their past. They're in mourning. They are in pain. They are in exile, and they are longing for something different. And Jeremiah tells them, "Don't you get it? I have a vision for you. I have a plan for you. A plan for your welfare and not for your harm, a vision of hope for the future." And Jeremiah then goes on to tell them that what they need to do is seek the Lord. What they need to do is talk to God, seek out God. And God says, if you will do that, if you will seek me with your whole heart, then you will be rewarded. Your life will change as a result of, your future will change as a result of seeking my face. The second scripture also has got this same theme in it. It is the one that's actually happening in the present, as the story is told. Jesus has been in the synagogue. He has been in the temple for a while now. We've been hearing in past weeks about how he's talked to the Pharisees. He's talked to the Sadducees. He has been teaching and preaching, and this is his last little bit. There are a couple of lasts here, actually. There are 9 widows' tales, either parables or stories of actual widows, in the Gospel of Luke, and this is the last one. And then the next piece, immediately after that, he goes in to talk about last things, which seems like an odd juxtaposition at first, until you kind of look at the context. So he's here in the temple. He's been teaching and preaching in the temple, and I just want to give you an idea of the grandeur of this space. I mean, we are in this beautiful sanctuary. And I know that coming in and sitting here makes us feel, just by the very presence, as though we're sort of in an elevated situation. We can feel closer to God because we are surrounded by this incredible beauty. And let me tell you, this has nothing on what the temple of Jesus's time was like. I just want to read you a little bit of its description from Josephus. Josephus is an extra-biblical writer. He was an author and historian who was Jewish but worked in the Roman court. And this is what he says about the exterior, the facade, the front of the building, not even the inside. But this is what he says about the gate opening into the temple. Was completely overlaid with gold, as was the whole wall around it. It had above it golden vines from which hung grape clusters as tall as a man. And it had golden doors, 55 cubits high and 16 broad. A cubit was about a foot and a half. This is a 55 cubit, so multiply that by 1.5, I'm not doing it for you. And 16 cubits broad, gold door. Before these hung a veil of equal length of Babylonian tapestry with embroidery of blue and fine linen, of scarlet also and purple, wrought with marvelous skill. That's the outside of the building. Just imagine the inside. This is this spectacular place, and they're just in the first court, the court of the women. The court of the women is the court that everyone can participate in. Women can participate, Gentiles can come in, men who have in some way are not perfect, so maybe you walk with a cane or you do not have good eyesight as a male person, you wouldn't be allowed in the court of men unless you were without blemish. So this is the area where everyone is allowed to come. It's also the area where you can leave your tithes and offerings. Makes sense, right? Want everybody to have the opportunity to do that. And there are 13 wooden boxes. And upon each wooden box is a shofar shape, which is sort of like a horn, right, that you blow as a trumpet. And you would drop your money into the shofar, and it would go down into the wooden box. So that's how you brought your offerings before God. You dropped them in sort of this tube. Ain't no sticking your hand back in and getting it back. Nobody getting change out of this plate. You drop it in and it's gone. It has gone into the temple treasury. And while Jesus is there, he sees this widow. He sees all these other rich people putting in lots of money. And he sees this widow and she drops in 2 lepta, which is basically the smallest coin of the realm. And it was the minimum offering allowed. Can you imagine? There was a minimum offering. And it was 2 lepta, and that is what she is giving. And then Jesus goes on to say that she's given more than anyone else, because even though others may have given more in quantity, she has given all of her living. The actual words in the scripture as translated here, she has put in all that she had to live on. But in reality, the Greek words here are hapanta ton bion. Hapanta is the all, and it's really everything. Panta, you do like if you talk about a pantheon, that's an all and everything, right? So everything, ton of, bion is the word for life. It's not her living, it's not just her livelihood. She is giving her everything, her life. I think there's more than just about material gift here. I think what Jesus is really saying that we're missing in the translation to the English is that she is offering her heart, her soul, her mind, her strength. Yes, it's financial, but it's also spiritual, emotional, intellectual, body, soul, spirit, all she is offering in this symbolic offering of the money. And this precedes Jesus then talking about what happens next. But first he asks for people not to just give out of plenty, out of abundance, but to give out of love. Now, as I was sitting here trying to think about what would be a good, sort of anecdote to tell, something that people out in the congregation would relate to, it came to me, I live in Philadelphia. And Philadelphia is known for having this expectation of their sports teams that they will give their all. I was told, as a matter of fact, the day that I closed on my house, it was the week before the Eagles went to the Super Bowl. And my loan officer, when I said, so what's going to happen? Are they going to win or are they going to lose? And he said, you know, Philadelphians don't care. The thing that we care about is that they give their all. If they will just go out there, and even if they start being a ton of points behind, if they keep giving with their whole heart, we will still love them. It is only when teams give up, when they start to get behind, you know, we have a reputation for being bad fans and for booing and for, you know, not always treating our teams with love and affection. But that's because we expect them to give it all the time, even if they're behind. Well, that's what I think God expects of us. To give it all, even when we're behind. Even when we feel like there is so much on us that we cannot bear it, to trust that God is with us, God is flowing through us, and God is here for us, and that we, in gratitude, give everything we've got back to God. The next piece of our scripture, the into the future piece of our scripture, it sounds like things are going to get pretty bad, too. Jesus begins to talk about the end times, and it is not pretty. Nation will rise against nation. There will be floods and famines and plagues. There will be all kinds of bad stuff going on in the world. And, you know, this scripture has been used over the past several centuries to say it's coming now. So I'm not going to stand up here and tell you it's coming now. But I don't think we can deny the fact that we're in a bad way in our planet right now. That there are hurricanes and floods and tsunamis and wildfires. Crazy things happening with weather all over the globe. The nations are rising against nations all around us, and perhaps it has always been this way. But what are we called to in the midst of that? We are called to ever deeper faithfulness. We are called to giving more of ourselves, our love, our affection, body, soul, spirit, heart, mind, strength, everything to God. So the vision into the future is not about, you know, how do we pay our bills this week? The vision into the future isn't about whether or not we can keep the lights on or stay in this beautiful sanctuary. The vision for the future is about how do we love God with all of our hearts, minds, soul, and strength. Because when we do that, in the midst of whatever else is going on, in the midst of famines and fire and devastation and destruction, in the midst of pain, in the midst of illness, in the midst of fear, in the midst of whatever, when we give it all to God, we know that not just we, but those we are with, those in our community, those in our world will be better for it. That is our call, to love the Lord and to show that love with all we've got. Amen.